Greetings again. Open your Bibles now to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along and take notes. Titus chapter 2. We are now in the section of the book of Titus where we are addressing the various groups within the local church to regarding ministries and how they need to conduct themselves and to do what they do with their time. Too easy, we like to do what we want to do, but God has outlined certain things that certain groups are supposed to do, and everybody's involved. We got the oldest to the youngest, men and women. We have even slaves, / employees, employers, all are regarding how we need to conduct ourselves in the local church. And with that in mind, though, this morning I'm only dealing with one verse, verse 3, and that is to the older women. And I already dealt with the older men last Sunday night. It is now the women is next. But let's pick it up in verse 1 and read it on down to verse 10, which kind of includes the entire group so we can get the context and the flow that everybody's involved and everybody has to work on these areas in their life to honor the Lord. Verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teacher of good things. That they may admonish the young women to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemaker, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good work, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, please be with us this morning. Lord, this message is for all, though it is particularly addressed to the older women. We need to be instructed that we would encourage this mindset and expectation within the body of Christ in our families. And anybody who names the name of Christ. Father, what this is really is a direct attack against the world wanting to reprogram us to be what it wants us to be. It is true of creed, it is true of our day. The world has always wanted to mold and fashion and shape us to its own priorities, so they can exploit and control and do what they want with their own. But Lord, we belong to you. All of us who name the name of Christ, who sees and who's come and who has fled to him for salvation, we belong to you, and we are to live according to your design and purpose. And only then will we get your blessing, flourishing and prosperity. Father, we pray that you would help us to be people of faith, to take you at your word when everything around it is telling us something different. Help us to allow your word to have the deepest and the most profound impression upon our mind, our spirits, and our souls, that we would chart and organize and prioritize our lives according to your word, not according to the things of this world. So, Father, with that, we pray that you'll be with us. Help us to be attentive, alert. Help us to follow your word in obedience for your glory and our own good. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of introduction, we have gone over God's instruction to the older men in the church, found in verse 2, that older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in the faith, in love, in patience. Now we move to the older women of the church. What is an older woman, biblically speaking, here in our text? These women have experience and time on their hand, because they are the ones whose children have grown and are out of the house. Ladies who now have time to invest in girls and young women in the church to build and strengthen them in their faith and Christian character. Notice I said the dual element of the faith and their Christian character. But we live in a world where they want have twisted and distorted God's purpose and design for men and women. Ladies, when a woman accepts a part or in whole the feministic ideology, they have embraced Satan's blueprint to rebel against God's purpose and design for women, period. There is no argument here. God is clear. And it's for our good and our flourishing. If we want God's blessing, we must do it His way and according to His pattern and for His glory. Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end is the way of death. The world thinks they have the answer. Only God has the ultimate answer. When you go counter to that, you are moving away from life to death. When we reject the truth, we will follow the folly of our ways and do what is right in our own eyes. Let us look now at what God wants our ladies to be busy with as the way of priority that they may and what they will have to give an account for. So when we first look at it, now I can't do what I normally do, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. I got one verse, so I'm breaking it up, 3A, 3B, and 3C. You'll see the phraseology as we work our way through. Point number one, older women likewise. The older women likewise that they may be reverent, behavior, not slanderous, and on it goes. The idea of the word likewise is they are to develop and to show progress in many of the same areas that men are from the previous verse. Because you got to remember, verses are not inspired. So it flowed, it's like it's flowing from one thing to another and just got done with the men and it's saying older women likewise. So in the light of that, I wanted to be aware of the fact that here we need to see that women are to be holy women, characterized by Christian virtue and holy conduct. We see this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit in which it very precious in the sight of God. Here the verse is not castigating or negating looking good, but don't spend all of your majority of your time merely doctoring up the outside. It is the hardest part. It's easy to fix your hair, throw some jewelry on, you're good. But it's another thing to be transformed and renewed in the hidden heart of the person. And God specifically said, and it's true of men as well, God wanted to have the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. This is precious in His sight. So the idea of the word likewise for older women, I am going to back up again into the previous verse and look at the last phrase because I believe it's directly connected to that. There are a couple of them in verse 2 that rolled into the same wording in verse 3. But if you look at the last part of verse 2, where it said that the older men needed to be sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience. Okay, I believe the idea of the word likewise is talking about those as well as some of them that they mentioned in verse 3 that connect with verse 2. So let me go over them again so we can be reminded what we are to stress among our ladies. First and foremost, you need to be sound in the faith. They too must progress in their knowledge and understanding of the Christian faith and the Christian doctrine. In the knowledge of our most holy faith. It's not enough to merely have a superficial understanding of what we are to know in this book. It's not enough to simply know the 66 books. It's not enough to simply know the basic theme of each book. But to know this book and all of its interconnectedness and teaching that it expresses the will of God and the character of God. We need to understand that we are to be sound and skillful in our most holy faith, ladies. Christian ladies are both to know the book. They are to know the will of God and to be able to pass that knowledge on to other Christian ladies. In fact, I had to do it the other night. I'm going to have to do it here. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, because this is so clear and so important and very useful piece of information that we need to be aware of. When God saved us, He expected to grow, to progress to maturity, even so much so as to become teachers. Not simply teachers to the little ones, but teachers to anybody that God may bring into our path to disciple. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14, it said, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And just like I made this statement to the men, I am turning around and saying the same thing to our lady. You as a Christian woman cannot be sound in the faith and skill if you are still in the need of milk. You cannot be sound in the faith if you are unskilled in the word. Immature, using the phrase, a babe. And lack spiritual discernment. You cannot be sound in the faith. That means there's work to be done. You need to be growing and progressing and maturing in your understanding. You need to be taking your time to know this book and what it teaches and what it doesn't teach. And having the discernment to know both. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That was Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae. That is certainly true of us in our church today. I am addressing the same thing to you in the light of the being sound in the faith that God want to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? Very next verse. Fourth thing. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. Fully pleasing Him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So it's not simply being practical and hands-on and being doing and active. It is also those things, but it's also you need to be ever-growing in your knowledge of God, your knowledge of His will. You need to be ever-growing so you can truly walk worthy and to walk in a way that, that speaks to the fact of pleasing Him and being fruitful. Fruitful the way He defines fruitfulness. Ephesians 5:17 says this, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You need to, if you've been in the Lord at all, you should have been in this book enough to understand the will of God in many normal day-to-day stuff. If you don't, you'd keep growing, keep learning, keep acting. How did this happen? Romans 12, verse 2. Too often we merely take the first part of it instead of taking the whole verse, and I want to really stress the second half in the light of what I'm on right now. Do not be conformed to this world. Well, we always hear that. Don't act like the world. Don't think like the world. Don't take the world value system. Absolutely. But how do you do that? It says in there, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. How do you get your mind renewed? Get in the book where the things you used to think get thrown out and you put His word in its place to help center your world. It is to renew your mind for a purpose, that you may know what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. You want to know the will of God? Get in the book. Know the book. Read the book. Understand the book. What did God say about this? What did He have to say about that? That all is part of transforming your mind. When you're in this, you don't have time to allow the world to shape and mold you in the way they want to shape you. So the first thing we are, likewise, lady, is to be sound in the faith. Second, is to be sound in love. Sound in love. This verse I'm going to use followed up with Philippians 1 verse 9. Which goes as follows. And this I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and discernment. The word abound there means exactly what it says. It is to excel, to excess, to overflow like a swelling river. In fact, the word that's used here, the Greek word that had the picture to of a river growing and swelling, overflowing. Paul is saying that God wants us, ladies, in this particular case that's directed to you this morning, He wants your love to abound. It wants to swell and grow and be beyond. But lest you get out of control and degenerate the sentimentality, He uses some phrases to help us understand how we are to do this. The verse says this, did I pray that your love may abound still more and more? Abound more and more. How? Knowledge and discernment. Again, the picture in the Greek is this. You got this swelling river being banked by knowledge, banked by discernment, so it can be channeled for the maximum usefulness. When you don't have banks and rivers overflow, it creates chaos and devastation. When it's banked and channeled according to knowledge and discernment, it is a glorious, marvelous thing. This is exactly what God wanted to have. He wants you to be sound in love. He wants you, based on Philippians, to abound in your love more and more, banked with knowledge and discernment. How's that going to happen? Back to the book. Study and search and know and understand. We are to love. Well, what is love? I'm glad you asked. There's a good place called 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. Let me read it as a reminder. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, And though I have all faith so that I can remove mountain but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my good to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, and it's kind. Does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things, love never fails. Those are the 15 benchmarks of true biblical love. So if we're to be sound in love, we need to manifest those things not only in our lives, but in an ever deeper and wider degree. Bring it to the third thing likewise, lady. You are to be sound in patience. You know, when you get older, that usually goes out the window. You kind of run out of patience, so to speak. But that's when we need it more, and by all means, we need to understand we can do it. God had to work in us to have patience. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit to have long suffering and endurance. But I want to paint a picture here using a different verse in a way of patience that I hope you will find helpful. Romans 8:25 reads, "But if we have hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Now let me read that again. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. This is, beloved, is living our life by the faith of God's word and not by sight. We are different people in this world. The world going to say we're strange. But we know anybody who rejects this book is strange. But the point is, beloved, we are traveling through a cursed world. A world full of sinners in rebellion to God, and they take it out on his children. Women, like men, are to lead examples of lives of patience, long-suffering, endurance, persevering, strength, resolve, steadfastness, always waiting and resting in the Lord. As you get older, you need to be better equipped and more in the Lord and being led and strengthened by the Spirit of God to be a patient person. Working with people required patience. Working in a world and taking a stand in a world that hates God and take their anger on God, on us as its people, required long-suffering and patience. Romans 15, verse 4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope." All the things we know and all the doctrines and how God uses His Word to equip us and prepare us to how to understand as we go through this life, it is to teach us patience and to gain comfort in the truthfulness of His book as we go through this life. Patience, seen in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." As you get older, it's easier to throw in the towel. "I'm tired. I want to retire." That is not an option here. The passage is clear. We go until He calls us home. Here we are to be sound and patient. What does that mean? Psalm 37:7, learning to rest in the Lord and to wait patiently for Him. If anything you should have learned in your Christian life, lady, it's the fact that God has a different timetable than ours. And we are to wait, we are to be patient, and we are to be perfectly content and rest in that. That would it mean. But it said in Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Why? Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way and because of men who bring wicked schemes to pass. Don't get agitated and irritated and impatient and frustrated with the wicked and the prosperity of the wicked. God will take care of them. Persevere. Be sound and patient. Ladies, we are to endure the trials and tribulations of life without losing heart or courage. This is especially true as we experience increasing ailments in life, unfulfilled dreams, and growing loneliness. But we must not lose heart. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So while we are waiting and being patient, I had a trip this weekend to go to Polk Falls and back. And I saw all the farmers harvesting their wheat. This is the time of year where they're putting in long days, harvesting what they have waited for so many months to harvest, especially this time of the year when they are worried about fires or maybe taking them. But the farmers who've been waiting long months patiently for that time when they need to, where the wheat is at its best, can yield its most. We too, he used the illustration, need to be patient waiting for the coming of the Lord. While we are waiting, constantly be establishing your heart. Be patient. Establish your heart. The other area that we are to work on, if you look at verse 3 again, older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, which is pretty much the same as reverent in verse 2. Regarding men, here he added the phrase, in their behavior. Behavior, the way they live, manner of life, demeanor, and character. Ladies, we are to be ever growing. Let's remember the hidden part of the person. Ever growing, ever reverent in behavior. The word reverent means to be dignified, respectful, and honorable, and how you live, not how you look, but live. That's why he qualified it with the behavior element. The idea here is superficiality and vanity in older Christian women is unbecoming and improper. If you are a child of God and you're an older woman, you should be ever growing to be like this. It's not about you making yourself into the self-made person you want to be. That's not your decision. You don't belong to yourself anymore. We belong to him. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. He is our master. We are not the master of our own lives. We belong to him. So, it is truly unbecoming and improper to live a life of superficiality and vanity, especially if you've been in the Lord very long. So we see here also, I want you to skip one where it goes to the next one, not given to much wine. This high phraseology simply means one who is in the habit of drinking wine or is accustomed to sitting with those who are indulging in it. You're near it, you're around it, you're by it, you kind of can't be very far from it. You're not getting intoxicated, but you kind of like it and want to be near it. It is important. This was vitally important because if you remember early in the introduction of this phase, the island of Crete, one of the three major problems of their national character was they were known as a bunch of drunkards. That's who they're ministering to. We do not do that. We do not cater to worldliness it and their national character to reach them for the gospel of Jesus Christ or to disciple them into Christian maturity. Not giving too much wine is what it said. And so that would be setting sin, certainly of the Cretan. Certainly can make a case for that today, here. Brings it to point number two. Not slanderers. Now that is different from what he said about the men. Women in particular need to not be slanderers. Here we're moving from lifestyle to the wrong and sinful use of the tongue. God had given you a tongue to be used for good things and for holy purposes. The word slanderer means to defame or to say something false about somebody. Or let me put it another way that most of us understand. It is lying about somebody. Doesn't matter how and why, to cover yourself, to make yourself look good, to win your case, to lie behind, to slander behind the scene, to slander and misrepresent the truth. It's wrong. It is sinful. No matter whose lips it falls off of. It is a false accuser and a malicious gossiper that uses their tongue as a vehicle of misinformation to hurt people. Maybe they want to hurt somebody, so they throw some poison out. Maybe they want to look good, so they throw some poison so they look bad, so they look good. Whatever the reason, still the same thing. Slander. Wrong. False. Lie. Proverbs 10:18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Now we just finished Proverbs not too long ago, and being a fool is not a good category. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. This word slander in the New Testament was used 38 times. One of those cases we're going to learn about later, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Listen carefully. This is the world soon to come in the future. But know this, that in the last days, perilous days will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lover of money, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, and the list goes on. I'll stop there. That is not the list of a holy life. That is the life of living in the sinful flesh. That is the word that is being used here. 38 times. Here we see that ladies are not to be slanderers. And if that's the case, when we do have slandering going on, where are the ladies rebuking such talk instead of listening to it? If you listen to it with no challenge, you're guilty. You're complicit. You will answer. So if it's not supposed to be done, then why are you listening to it? And why is it going unchallenged? You can do it in a loving way. Hey, we don't need to talk about this. It doesn't concern me. Why are you saying that? If you got an issue with them, go talk to them. In fact, I'll set up an appointment for you. That will stop it real quick. But we need moral courage to do that, because to let it go unchecked hurts people along the way. But let me get to where I was driving here. that word would use 38 times in the New Testament. Guess how many times it would use 35 times for the name of the devil. Because that's his name. Slanderer. The Greek word used for the devil that we translate into our Bible, not Satan, but the devil, is slanderer. So if you ever want to bear the mark of the devil, start slandering. John 8:44, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was taking Satan, the devil, and showing the religious leaders of his own day that they were following, mocking, and mimicking their father, the devil, by their lies and slander. 8:44. You of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. It's important that we understand slander is wrong. It's sinful. It may feel good, but that's sinful gratification, not holy gratification. Number three. Now we're turning to the good use of the tongue. Why slander when you can teach good things? Notice what it said at the end of the verse. Teachers of good things. Instead of dripping and dropping poison in everybody's head, heart, and mind, why don't you pass on some good things? Put your energy to doing that. Teachers of good things. I really got intrigued by this word. It's a simple thing. Indulge me for a moment. This is the only time this word is used. Teacher of good things is one word in the Greek. Aptly, it's a compound word with two words put together. To teach, good. Pretty simple, nothing earth-shattering. Okay? So, with that idea, teaching, good thing. What is good? The Greek word that would use for that part of the word means something that is morally excellent and good, praiseworthy, pure, sound thinking. The other word, teaching. They expect, ladies, for you to be teaching, talking, communicating, transferring knowledge. That's assuming you have it to share it. That you model it so it will be appreciated. They are to take the role of teaching. I got a little note here that said not an option. We're all teachers. Maybe not in an official capacity, but we're all teaching. We're all saying something that we believe to be true. Let's make sure it's good and right, and wholesome. Ladies, your topic, your subject, and the content is nothing more, nothing less than good things. Don't go into the slander. Don't go into the garbage. Don't go into error, falsehood, and misinformation. Your content, you've already been given it. Your topic, your subject, it's like, okay, you got a class and I want to get, this is your assignment to teach and don't go outside of it. God has given it to you. Go teach. Younger women, because the very next verse teaches that. We'll deal with that tonight. Good thing. Good thing. Things that are wholesome, sound, holy, and edifying. Ephesians 4:29 says it this way, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Don't corrupt people with poison, slander, misinformation. Edify. Truth. Good. good thing. The only way you can do that is by filling your heart and mind with holy and good thing. Our Lord taught these things in Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bring forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What you say is what you dwell on. Well, I didn't mean it. Yes, you did. It wouldn't have found words if you had not been thinking it, meditating on it, brewing on it. It squeezes out in the form of words. That's who you are. We need to learn to govern our tongue to stay away from slander, bad stuff, corrupt words, falsehood, and to use words that are teaching good things and that edifies and strengthens and encourages. To teach, you need to be with others. Here's the other obvious element. You can't be hiding. A lot of times as people get older, they retreat from the church instead of staying in the church, engaging and involved. You need to be with others. You need to earn their respect by your Christian character and faithfulness. To retreat and be a loner does not work. You cannot fulfill this command by yourself in your hideout. Staying away from people. You can't do it if you're constantly busy with the things of this world. It will not get it done. If anything, you'll be fostering and teaching worldliness. Don't take on what I have come to call a monastic mentality of escaping from the world in your own home. You can't teach people when you're hiding. What are some of the good things they should be teaching? Well, there's plenty here. But let me tell you something in the immediate context. Look at the very next verse. Verse 4 and 5. That they may admonish the young women to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husband. Those are good things, good topic, good subject. Doesn't matter what the world thinks, they lost their way. Their homes aren't doing good. When we follow His way and do it His word, His, on His terms, without interjecting any of our rebellion, sinfulness, and disobedience, He will bless this. This is the role of older women. And it should be what they should be seeking in the church. Do not retreat from the church because you now have free time because the kids are gone. This is the time to invest. To invest eternally. To invest because we have young women who need godly and faithful women to teach them. To love them, to be patient with them, to show them what it looks like. Let me close with, I couldn't think of a better verse than Proverbs 31:26. This Proverbs 31 woman said, it said, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She uses her tongue right. That's why her family rise up and call her blessed. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness. We know there is something for every one of us here. But this was specifically assigned to our older ladies. Father, may they take it to heart the joyful ministry they have before them in the Lord when they let you have your way with them. So Father, we pray that we would be what you would have us to be, all of us. Help it to honor you and glorify you. Seek to be sound in faith, love, and patient, to long and love for opportunity to share the wonderful news of Jesus Christ and the Christian faith and Christian life to those who are hungry and searching and wanting to know. God, help us not to miss those opportunities, but to look forward to them, to simply love them and to pass on the wonderful things that we have learned through the years. May we honor and glorify you in doing it. May we do it for your glory and their good, to be spent and be spent for them, to do it with the right motive while we can, because there will be a day where our mouths will be silenced, where all we can do is stay home and resort to prayer for the ministry. But Lord, while we can, help us to reach out. May we be teachers of good things for your glory, in Christ's name.